Colossians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul in verses 5 and 6 speaks of the gospel which has come to you. I'd like you to look back for a moment to the time when you became a Christian. Well, perhaps you don't remember a specific time when you first acknowledged Jesus Christ, but that's all right. It's not absolutely necessary that you pinpoint a date. The important thing is that you understand the gospel and that you commit yourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So let me ask you, how was it that you really came to understand the gospel? It was probably through some special person who took time to really talk to you about Christ. Without doubt, you will probably confess that this is how you came to an understanding of the gospel. I remember very vividly in my own case when I went to visit an army chaplain and he took time to open the Bible and talk to me about Christ. I had never really heard the gospel before, but here was a man who took time to bring it to me. And so this is how the gospel came to me. And as we look at Colossians, we find that it is similar with these people in that faraway city. The Apostle Paul speaks to them of the gospel which has come to you. And this is the whole point. The gospel has come to you. The gospel had come to the Colossians. And if that gospel had not come to them, they would not have heard it. Had the gospel not come to you, you would not have heard it. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. The gospel which has come to you. These are words, of course, in our Bibles, which are spoken by the Spirit through the Apostle Paul. And they apply to the Colossians. But they are also words, dear friends in Christ, which are spoken by the Spirit to you and to me. And so we have basically before us these points. The fact that the gospel has come to you. That's the first point. And the second point involves the question, how has that gospel come to you? With reference to the Colossians, the answer is given in verse 7. You learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on your behalf. And so at base we have these two things to look at. The gospel which has come to you and how it came to you. First of all, as we look at Colossians, notice how Paul describes this gospel that he mentions in verse 5. Paul describes the gospel in at least three ways here. He describes the gospel as to its content. He describes the gospel as to its life. And he describes the gospel as to its activity. We've already looked at the content of the gospel only briefly. Paul mentions in verse 5 that we have hope laid up for us in heaven. That's what he says to the Colossians. You have hope laid up for you in heaven. And he goes on to say, you heard of that great hope in the gospel. You see, part of the content of the gospel involves that hope. And then the life of the gospel is mentioned in verse 6. The Lord willing, we'll look at that in a little bit more detail in the future. But here Paul in verse 6 speaks as saying, in the world also it, that is the gospel, is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also. Here is the life of the gospel, bearing fruit. But Paul here also speaks of the activity of the gospel. And that's what we want to bear down on this morning. The gospel has come to you. And the very activity of the gospel in this regard, it's coming to you, it implies certain things. And one of the things that these words imply is the fact that the gospel was sent to you. Isn't that how God works? He sends out the gospel so that when you look back, you can say, yes, the gospel came to me. You see, our God does know our inability to reach out toward Him. He knows of our isolation and separation from Him. And that's why He sent His Son into the world. He sent His Son into the world. His only begotten Son. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." He sent His Son into the world in order that we might have a great salvation. You did not reach into glory to find Jesus Christ. No. God sent Jesus Christ into this world. That's the wonder of it all. And not only so, you find that Jesus Christ sent His disciples out to preach the gospel concerning His being sent into the world. You remember those words of Jesus. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always." Yes, Jesus Christ said to His disciples, "Go. Go into the world." And not only that, He empowered His disciples to go. He said to them, "You will receive power. You will receive enablement. You will receive ability when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth. Go." And I think we understand the Bible rightly when we understand that Jesus never intended that those disciples should stay in Jerusalem. The plan of God was that they go out from there carrying the gospel message. And so they were sent from that place. And the gospel message was sent with them. And the result is, again, my friends, that to those to whom the gospel was sent and is being sent today, to those individuals, you and I may say the gospel has come to you. And I think we need to understand that perspective. To be sure, there are certain lessons to be gained right away in understanding that this is the case. There are lessons regarding responsibility and regarding comfort. Has the gospel of Christ truly come to you? Then it was God's plan that it be sent to you. Isn't that something? Here is a clear expression of the deep and abiding love of God for you. It seems to me that there is truly overwhelming comfort in resting on that love of God. But we dare not rest to the point of being lethargic, of sitting back. Just as the gospel came to you, so it will also come to others. And you have real responsibility. You must support the sending out of the gospel or you must be willing to carry the gospel out to others. Then there's a second implication to these words given to us in the beginning of verse 6, where Paul speaks of the gospel which has come to you. If the gospel has come to you, it has not only been sent out to you, but my friends, it arrived, didn't it? It arrived. It arrived at its appointed destination, and now it is very present with you. These words in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, which are translated, which has come to you, those little words, it has come to you. Those words can be translated, the gospel is present with you. In fact, very often in the New Testament, the very same word is translated present. It is present with you. We are present with you. We have come and we are present with you. We have arrived and we are now present with you. That's the implication. That's the clear implication that the Apostle Paul is driving at in this particular case, in this particular text. That the gospel has come, that the gospel has arrived, and the gospel has done its work, and it is now abiding presently with you in all of its power. This is what the Colossians are being told by the Apostle Paul. And you know, as you look at the pages of the Bible, you realize that this is how the Word of God works, that this is how God works. The Word of Truth always accomplishes the purposes for which it is sent by our God. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." In other words, the gospel always arrives at its appointed destination. It always does. And when the gospel arrives at its appointed destination, it always accomplishes the work which God has designed it to accomplish. If God designs the word to convict of sin, it will convict of sin. If God designs that word of truth, the gospel, to turn individuals, men and women, young people and boys and girls, to Jesus Christ, it will turn them to Christ. The Word of God always accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. And the result is that you can turn back and say, the gospel has come to me. Oh, I think that's tremendous. I really do. The gospel has come to me. And not only so, it has arrived in full force and power, and it has turned me to Jesus Christ. Now that the gospel message is mine, it abides with me. It's present with me, that truth. But again, there are lessons for us out of this. What a great comfort it is to know that God Himself has worked in you. That God Himself has worked in you. That He sent the gospel to turn you to Christ. And that the gospel has come to you and accomplished its purpose in you. There's comfort in that. But there's also a heightening of responsibility in understanding that. You see, you can always have confidence in the gospel, so that supporting the proclamation of the gospel is not engaging in some kind of experimentation. I think of the space shuttle and the many countdowns and the many setbacks and the many false starts. Not so with the gospel. We're not engaging in some exploratory purpose here with the gospel. The gospel is being sent out by God, and it always accomplishes the purposes for which it is being sent out. And you can never say that the gospel is not effective in changing the lives of human beings. And so the gospel, you see, is therefore always worthy of your support. You can never make an excuse and say, well, I don't know if I ought to support this project or not. The gospel is always worthy of our support. Well, let's press on in our text. There are a lot of implications to just those few words, "The gospel has come to you." But going on, we learn how the gospel came to the Colossians. In verse 7 again, Paul says, "Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf." The gospel came to Colossae by way of this man, Epaphras. Now, we don't know a whole lot about this fellow Epaphras. Paul tells us something about him in this verse, verse 7. But what we do know is that he was apparently an evangelist who did work under the direction of the Apostle Paul. And this evangelistic work was probably done while Paul was in Ephesus. Paul spent 3 to 3.5 years in Ephesus, working diligently with the church there. And west of Ephesus, there were three cities, Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. They were three cities about 100, 125 miles west of Ephesus. And it seems that this fellow Epaphras was over there in Colossae, and over there in Hierapolis, and over there in Laodicea, working for the Apostle Paul. It tells us this in verse 7. Look at it again. Paul says, "Just as you learned it," that is the gospel, "from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf." Why was Epaphras over there in Colossae? He was over there working on behalf of Paul and Timothy. That's why he was over there. He was working for those men on their behalf. In other words, I think we can say with confidence that the Apostle Paul sent Epaphras over there to bring the gospel. And again, isn't that the design of God? Isn't that how He works? I'd like you to turn back with me to that text we read a little bit ago, Romans chapter 10. And look at verses 14 and 15 with me. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Paul very clearly saying, "How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things." Men and women and young people and children must hear the gospel. They must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they're going to believe, they must hear. It's as simple as that. And if they are going to hear, this requires people talking to them about Jesus Christ. That's not so difficult to understand. And if there are going to be individuals talking to them about Jesus Christ, those individuals must be sent to them. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. whether through face-to-face encounters, whether through the television, whether through the radio, whether through literature of various types, whether through tapes, whether through books, the gospel must be sent to individuals. Individuals must talk to people about Jesus Christ. But then Paul says in verse 15 in Romans chapter 10, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" How indeed? Men and women must be sent to do the work of evangelism. They must be sent. That's how the gospel came to Colossae. Under the direction of the Apostle Paul, Epaphras went to Colossae, and once there, Epaphras taught others the Word of God. I hope you begin to see your responsibility here. You need to support the sending out of missionaries. That's how God has ordained the gospel to be spread. So you need to support the sending out of missionaries. And secondly, you yourselves need to spread the gospel. That's one of the very important implications of what we're saying. That's one of the reasons we're anxious about these evangelistic services this week. That's one of the reasons we spent a lot of time looking at this little tract. Because it's just a tool. It's just a vehicle. It's just something that can be used to bring the gospel to others. You see, again, the gospel is spread by people talking to people. But now, going back to Colossians chapter 1, let's look at this fellow Epaphras for a minute in Colossians 1:7. Why did Epaphras go and teach the word of truth to the people at Colossae? Well, there are a couple of reasons given in verse 7. First of all, Epaphras considered himself to be a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man knew and understood that he was not his own master. He understood that he was not his own master. Epaphras had committed himself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this Lord Jesus Christ, he understood, had purchased him with his own precious blood. And so Epaphras rightly understood himself to be Christ's servant. And so that's why Epaphras went to Colossae as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that Paul does not stop here, but in verse 7, he also calls Epaphras a faithful servant of Christ. This man, Epaphras, was not just a hearer of the Word of God. He was a doer of the Word of God. And when Christ said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all the nations," and when Epaphras came to understand this word of truth, he did not make excuses and say, "Well, not me, Lord. I can't do that. I can't be involved in that sort of thing." No. Epaphras was faithful to the heavenly vision that the gospel would one day cover the earth. And so he went. You too are a bond slave of Christ. You belong to Christ. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And since you have been bought with a price, you are responsible to Christ. You are called to propagate the gospel and to support the propagation of the gospel. My dear friends in Christ, has the gospel come to you? Yes, we can speak of the gospel which has come to you. Oh, perhaps there are some of you who have not really heard the word of truth. And if that's the case, you need to bow before Christ. You need to trust in Him as your Savior from sin. You need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Master of your life. But my friends, I want to tell you, if the gospel has come to you, you have great joy and comfort. Imagine the great and holy God of the universe has stooped to meet your needs. The gospel message arrived, did its work, and according to the plan of God, it has come to you, turned you to Christ, and abides with you now and forever. Rejoice in that, my friends. Thank God for what He has done. And remember too how that gospel has come to you. Perhaps through a faithful servant of Christ like Epaphras. You need to thank God for that person. And not only so, because you have heard the gospel, you need now to propagate it, because it will only be carried to others in the same way that it was brought to you. You must take the gospel to others, or you must support the carrying of the gospel to others. Remember, it was because someone else was faithful to Christ that the gospel came to you. Do you dare be any less faithful? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us understand the words of the Scriptures to us this morning. And help us, Father, to understand not only the comfort that is ours, but also the responsibility that you give us. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen.